The announcements, September is State Missions Month, and our goal is $1,000, so please be in prayer for that and give as the Lord leads you. Snacks for Caro High School, we need those by tonight so we can get them to the association. You can bring them tonight if you want to, and just put them in the back. There's a box there in the back. This Wednesday, September 10th, 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal and church conference. The meal will be covered dish. So come at 6:30 and enjoy a meal with us and fellowship before we have church conference. Thursday, September the 18th at 7 p.m. is Stand in the Gap Men's Meeting. If you can help restock the food pantry, there's a list of items on the poster board as you enter the sanctuary. Please take one or two or several to help us restock that. And we would like to thank everyone that donated items and helped with the clothes giveaway yesterday. Any other announcements? Any birthdays before we go to the Lord in prayer? Junior, were you raising your hand or you just? Okay, don't want to miss any birthdays. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for our time of fellowship and the Sunday school meal this morning, the breakfast, Lord, before Sunday school. We thank you for our Sunday school, Lord, and Lord, we just come to this time now, Lord, just to pray for these worship services this morning, Lord. Lord, it is so important for us to gather together and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We know that, Lord. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each and every one of us has come today to truly offer our worship to you, Lord, and not just here. Fellowship is important, Lord. I know that and all, but Lord, from here on out, Lord, we are here to worship you, and we just want to give you all the love and all the attention this morning, Lord. Lord, as always, I want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he stands before us today, Lord, and proclaims your word today, not his, but yours. I just pray, Lord, that we will be attentive, Lord, that we will not only just listen to it, Lord, and be in God's word this morning, Lord, but also, Lord, be doers of the word. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
If you can this morning, let's all stand and sing together. He keeps me singing. Hymn 425, you're looking in the hymn.
song.
He abides with the still.
fellowship breakfast this morning, Lord. Just thanking you for all the ways you bless us and care for us. Lord, we pray that you'll be Brother Tim as he brings the message, that you'll give the words we need to hear. And Lord, we especially pray that we're open and attentive to your word. Lord, we pray as we come to this time of the service that you'll bless the giver and you'll bless the gift, and we pray that it'll be used to further your kingdom. We pray this in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12, been studying through Hebrews and finally getting to chapter 12. We talked about how much Jesus is better, or we should probably say superior, to everything that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament had to offer to us. But as we get to Hebrews chapter 12, I want to go ahead and I'll just ask the question. How many of you have ever been in a race? Anybody ran on in elementary school, middle school, high school? Maybe it's foot race. Maybe you like to drag race through Cairo. There's all kind of races that we have. But this morning we're going to be talking about the race of faith. Some of you may remember a couple of years ago, it's probably more than a couple now, probably 6, 7, 8, there was the VBS theme. I can't remember the exact title of it, but anyhow, there was a theme about sports and stuff, and it used this passage that we're going to look at this morning. And so I'm going to go ahead and read it. And then we're going to look at some keys that I think are important for us to have to run a race of faith that honors our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's begin reading. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith,
who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have read these two verses, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give us insight, give us understanding about the race, Lord, that you have called us to. Lord, help us to take what we learned today and to apply it into our own lives, Lord, so that we can run a race of faith, Lord, that honors and glorifies you, that others see and realize, Lord, that it is you who is doing the work in each and every one of us. Lord, have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first step, the first key to living a godly life is to have faith. The author here makes mention of those who, of us who are in the race, are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. But we need to address something, because how many of you were raised up in church thinking that the witnesses were sitting up there on a cloud watching you? Anybody? Come on, read church, tell the truth. Can I tell you that's not true? The reason it is not true is if your loved ones are in heaven looking down at you when you make a stupid mistake, what are they doing? They're crying, right? They're saying, why are you doing that? Can I tell you, my Bible tells me that there's no more tears in heaven. Amen? They're not looking down at us, watching us perform like on Super Bowl Sunday. They don't have the drones in the sky looking down on us and watching our every move, what we do right and what we do wrong. They are witnesses, and I think that probably the better word would be they were testifiers. They testify of what God has done in their lives and is willing to do in our lives if we simply by faith trust him in everything we do, everything we say, every time he, like Sunday school lesson this morning, every time he says go, we go. Every time he says be still, what do? We be still. All those things are evidence, and I had asked Miss Shaw to play the song this morning by CeCe Wound, The Goodness of God. I'm sorry for the audio on that, this little technical issue there. When she's singing that song, she is testifying of the goodness of God. She is testifying of her faith in Jesus Christ and God the Father, who has brought her through all these hard times and realizes that, you know, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what we go through, because we've all got hurdles, right, that we're going to have to jump over. We've all got hindrances that slow us down in our race of faith. But how can we be faithful in our race that God has given to us? As I think about that, I think, you know, the key is faith. Number one, the key, we must have faith to enter the race. You got to get in the race, right? If you go side, if you're going to a marathon, we kind of talked about that this morning too in Sunday school. If you're going to go run a marathon, you got to sign up for it, right? Well, the race that we're in, the race of faith, is only through Jesus Christ. That's the only way, but we have to have faith in who he is and what he has done, what he has accomplished for us to even get in the race. So if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're not in the race of faith. Okay? It's plain and simple. If you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be a spectator, but you can't be in the race of faith. You have to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ first and foremost. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. It's not about how good you are or how good you look or how much money you have. It is about faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall, what? Live by faith. I know we covered that last week and week four. But here's the point. If I am saved, I'm not supposed to be sitting. I'm supposed to be serving. Amen? It is a change in who I am, what I do, everything about me. It's a change. And I don't just love myself anymore. I love others. Amen? And Jesus said that. To love Him first, and the second thing was to love others. Now, with that, we realize that if I'm going to enter the race, I have to do so by faith. If I'm going to do so, then I must live by faith, not just once in my life, but daily. The just shall live by faith. It's a continuous activity in our lives. As we run the race, we must also have faith to endure the race. Here again, the marathoners, Brother Tim brought this up, so I thought we were good. I was like, man, I should have used that for my illustrations today, and so I am. You can do a sprint, and that's what most of us want. Amen. We want to sprint. We want to say, okay, Lord, here I am. Let's get this over with so I can do my thing. But if you're going to be a marathon runner, guess what you've got to do? You got to set the pace, right? You got to set the pace. If you just go all out, you're going to be burnt out time you get the road out here, right? You're not going to make it 26 miles to Thomasville. You're just not going to make it, right? But that's how we want to live life of faith. We want to say, okay, I'm in, I'm good. One time, that's enough. But that's not the race God's called us to. He's called us to a race of faith that we must have endurance to run it. Even though, as I said earlier, there's going to be hurdles, there's going to be hindrances, and there's even going to be hurts along the way. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I find often, and Amy and I were talking about this the last night, anytime you help somebody, you'll usually end up getting hurt. Can I get a witness? It's a fact of life. If you're going to help somebody, you're going to get hurt. Sometimes those hurts cause us to do what? We want to quit running. We want to get out of the race because, man, that hurt. Why is it when I help somebody, I'm the one who gets hurt? And we don't understand it, but guess what Jesus did? Didn't he want to help everybody? Didn't he get hurt? The race of faith takes endurance. It's not easy. Nobody ever said it would be. But we must also have faith to be effective in the race. We need that faith to keep us going. We need to have that effectiveness that, hey, we need a mindset, I'm not going to give up. Because we want to. Honestly, we do. We have the hindrances. We start running, all of a sudden something happens. And it wants to slow us down. And you can bet that's not coming from God most of the time. Because Satan doesn't want you in the race. He doesn't want you to enter the race. He doesn't want you to be saved. He wants to say, okay, your life's good enough. You're a good person. But that's not salvation. Satan wants, if you are saved and you're wanting to live your life for the Lord, he's going to do everything in his power to knock you off course. He's going to slow you down so that you don't finish well. But we need faith to be effective in the race. We need to keep on going. The second thing we realize, the second key to living the godly life is freedom. If we look at this chapter 12, verse 1, again, if we can go back to that. Listen to what he says. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight. Now, let's talk about the every weight for just a moment. Do you realize that there are a lot of good things in life that there's nothing wrong with? When a runner trains for any kind of running event, they realize that there are things that are good and there are things that are bad, right? And they try to cut out all those things that are bad because they want the fastest times. But then it gets to the point where they don't just want to eliminate the bad. They want to go in and analyze and see what are the things that are necessary. And anything that it is not necessary, I need to do what with? Because weight is the problem. I heard of a man one time, he went to the doctor, he was having back problems, his back was hurting. And so the doctor examined him and everything, checked him all out, did a bunch of blood work and everything. And he says, sir, I hate to tell you, you don't have a back problem. You have front problems. You know what I mean? He was overweight. The doctor said, your problem's not your back, it's your stomach. If you get rid of what's on the front side, you won't have problems on the back side. But that's what a runner does. He looks at what is not only good versus bad, but what is good versus best. He wants what is best. He wants what takes him to the furthest point as fast as he possibly can. Sometimes it's not about necessarily bad things that slow us down in our race of faith. We can get sidetracked real easy, right? And the things that we do are not necessarily of themselves bad. But Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me. Right? I can do these things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But all things are not helpful. Amen? All things are not helpful to me. In other words, this, there's nothing wrong with eating spaghetti. But now if I eat 5 pounds of it, it might be a problem, right? It's not good for me. There's nothing wrong with it per se, but not all things are helpful to me. So if I'm trying to run a race, I don't need to be carrying a lot of stuff I can't carry. There might be good things, but they're not the best things. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, he's not going to let those good things, even if they are good things, keep him from running the race that the Lord has set before him. Sometimes we have to lay aside those things that slow us down. But we also realize that in chapter 12, verse 1, he goes on to say, and the sin. And the sin. You have the good things that can slow us down. But then we have the bad things. Because he's telling us, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. That's the things that could be good or bad. Lay them aside because they slow us down. But then he goes on to say, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The sin. That is a directive. That is a definitive thing. It is a sin. A lot of us, we walk around and we act like goody two shoes around everybody else, and we know we got sin in our lives. Just maybe not everybody can see them. And this sin, the problem with this sin that I believe the author of Hebrews is telling us, is this sin, it may not be a bunch, it might be one particular sin. We all have something we're struggling with, amen? This sin is what ensnares us. What does it mean to ensnare? How many of you have seen kudzu? How many of you ever seen wisteria? Do you know wisteria is beautiful, right? I love wisteria. Lawnmowers hate wisteria, right? Because if you got a riding mower, you always try to throw the belt off your deck. If you let wisteria just go crazy, it'll wrap around pine trees and kill them. Kudzu, it seems to me like, I said, we didn't have that down in Florida where I used to live. Come up here and it's everywhere. kudzu, man, it grows and grows and grows foot. I think sometimes every day, right? It grows. If you try to run through that, guess what's going to happen? Think of that kudzu or that wisteria as sin. Every time you try to run, guess what it's going to do? It's going to wrap you up and snatch you down. It's like a trap. It ensnares you and keeps you from making any progress. So the writer here is saying, listen, let us lay aside the good things. They're not bad, but they're slowing you down, the weight. Lay aside, get rid of the sin which so easily ensnares us, because we want to run the race that honors God. Since we've been talking about faith for several months now, going through Hebrews, we realize something here, because there is one sin that is probably undetectable for most of us. And you know what that one sin is that probably causes the most damage to us? It is the sin of unbelief. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that you don't have Jesus Christ living in your heart. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we've entered the race, and God tells us to do something, what do? Brother Tim, I know God wants me to do something, but you know, I'm not into that. I'm not a people person. I just want to sit back and enjoy the good time. We're not willing to get out. We're not willing to go. We're not willing to do. Oh yeah, if it don't cost me a whole lot or a whole lot of time or money or effort, then yeah, I'm in. But other than that, Lord, don't ask me to do something that's going to change my life. Can I get a witness? You see, it's the sin of unbelief that kept the children of Israel from entering into the promised land. They didn't believe they could, right? God said, go take it. We sent 12 guys over there, and two come back and said, yeah, let's take it to you. And said, no, let's don't. So we're not going to lead the people who want to honor God. We want to go with the ones who want to dishonor God. And we're going to head with them. And God said, okay, you sent the people over there for 40 days. They checked out the land. Now for 40 years, you're going to wander in the desert. Because of why? Because they did not have the faith to enter the race. They did not have the faith to do what God had told them to do. And that's what we do. Many times we say, nah, not me. Can't do it, God. You know God was the one who created you? Amen? If he created you, doesn't he know what you can do and what you can't do? God isn't an idiot, okay? God would never ask you to do something you can't do. You might not be able to do it in your own strength, but in him, because God has promised to supply all of our needs according to what? His riches and glory. Hmm. Faith enables us to do the impossible. Faith enables us to do the things that we think we can't do. But unbelief is what tangles up our feet. It wraps us around our feet, our legs, our waist, our head. Down in Florida, where we used to live, we had these vines. I don't know if y'all down here or not. I hadn't been in the woods a whole lot. But we call them wait-a-minute vines. Y'all got them here? They're not briars. They're not blackberries. They kind of grow straight. They don't hardly have no leaves on them whatsoever. But they just grow straight, and they got thorns sticking out all over them. And when you get a hold of one of them, it's going to wrap you up, and you're going to say, hold on a minute. You're going to wait a minute, because you can't go no more. Unbelief does that to us. Well, we might be saved, but we're not being effective in our race because we don't believe we can or that God can. Sometimes we realize that here in our passage this morning, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. But then he goes on to say, let us what? Run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us. You know what a lot of our problems are? We want to try to tell everybody else how to run the race. Believe it or not, at one time when I was in middle school, I used to run track. I don't know what happened. What I learned in running is that if you were running a sprint type race, if you look down at your feet while you're running, guess what happens? You're probably going to fall because you ain't supposed to be looking at your feet. If you start looking at the crowd on one side or the other, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be in somebody else's lane running their race. When you run, you're supposed to be in your own lane, running your own race. And running at the very best you can, you might get beat. But guess what? As believers, we're not running against one another. Right? We're all running our race. God created you. He made you to where you can run your race. You are called to run your race and be effective in running your race. It's not, yes, we're to encourage one another. I'm not saying we're not. We're supposed to encourage one another, to edify, to build up. Run. You know, run the race. But don't get caught up in somebody else's race. Run your race. Encourage them and they're running their race. But you can't run their race for them. How many of us as parents would do anything in the world to run your kids' race? Because you don't want them hurt. You don't want them failing. You want to get in there and do it for them, but you can't. They have a race and you have a race. We're to be faithful in running that race. I heard about these two guys who went on a camping trip one time. And as they were camping, they were out by the river. And all of a sudden a bear shows up and the bear starts chasing them. Well, they run through camp. And they're trying to run as fast as they can. And one of the guys, he stops and grabs a pair of shoes through the campsite and he's putting on the shoes as he's trying to run. And the other guy said, them shoes ain't going to help you outrun that bear. He said, I don't have to outrun the bear. I only have to outrun you. He said, listen, that's how some of us act. I'm better than you. I'm doing more than you. That's not how we're supposed to be as believers. We're supposed to be running our race It's not about outrunning this person over there doing more, whatever, being more. It's about us all doing our part. I thought about the Sunday school. If y'all ain't in Sunday school, you're missing out, amen? I thought about this. Every one of the Levites had a certain job they were supposed to do. And every one of them had that certain job they were supposed to do so that worship could take place. You know, we all have the same thing. We all have a plan, a purpose for us coming together to worship God. And when one person's not doing what they should be doing that God's given them to do, it hurts the worship, right? We're all to be in this together, doing each our part so that the body of Christ can grow. My third key and final key is this. The life of faith requires focus. The life of faith requires focus. Look at verse 2 with me. Looking unto who? The author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says that what God begins in you, he will complete, right? It's a work in progress. None of us has arrived, right? None of us are perfect. We all have a race. We're all running our race. We're all trying to do what it takes to run well. And that should be our end goal, that when we see Jesus face to face, he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." We have a race to run. And when we get to heaven, are we going to hear God say, "You ran well"? Or will we hear, "You could have ran better"? You didn't run at all. What is he going to say? Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. I mentioned this earlier, but if you're running down the road or down a trail and you look off to the side one way or the other, you might run into a tree. If you're driving down the road, y'all ever done it? You're driving down the road and maybe you see something out there in the field that catches your eye that you never saw before. Might be a deer, might be a house, might be a tractor, who knows what it is. But you drive along and it catches your attention and you get locked in on that object that's out there in that field. What happens to your car? If y'all don't have autopilot, right? We don't have autopilot. We got the one driving assist that try to make you pull back into your lane, or lane assist, I think that's what it's called. But here's the point. If I'm focused on something else, I'm not focused on what I should be focused on. If I'm focused on this over here, what normally happens when I'm driving, if I'm focused on something over here, I start drifting over here. Right? You start drifting into somebody else's lane, or you might even end up in the ditch because you're not paying attention to what we should be focused on. Looking unto Jesus. That should be our focus, our primary focus in life, is on him, not on anyone else or anything else. We're to look to him. Matthew 14. I want to end with this illustration straight from Scripture. We all know the story well. But think about this as we read this. From the moment Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you," and Jesus said, "What? Come." At that very moment, Peter had a race to run, right? He had a job to do. Let's read it. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost, wouldn't you? People don't walk on water." And they cried for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he, meaning Jesus, said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Good job. Man, Peter's in a race, right? Peter got his eyes on Jesus. Everything's going fine. But, verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." See, Peter had a job to do. Peter had a race to run. And as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he was doing the impossible. Amen? He was living by faith. But when he saw the wind and the waves, right, what did he do? He took his eyes off of who he should have been looking at, and he put them on the things of the world, the hindrances, the hurdles, the hurts, and everything else that comes along with it. And he fixed his eyes on the problems and not on the solution. He looked on the things of doubt and unbelief instead of focusing his attention by faith on Jesus Christ himself. But don't we do the same? Jesus has given us a race to run, and we have to enter it by faith. We have to have faith to be effective in it, to endure it, all those things. But some of us, maybe this morning we know, maybe we're not in the race at all. We've never put our faith and trust in Christ, in Christ alone. And so today we need to enter the race. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Ask him to come into our hearts and lives and to forgive us of our sins and give him full control. We need to enter. But then some of us this morning, maybe, honestly, maybe we've got to the point where we've been distracted by all the problems, all the circumstances, all the hurdles, all the hindrances, all the hurts and everything else we've gone through. And we've got to the point where we want to throw the towel in. Just, man, this, I just want to quit. Can I tell you to focus your eyes on Jesus? Put your eyes back on him. Look to him in faith and continue running the race. Don't give up. Yes, it's hard, but don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. That's Satan trying to throw you off track. What is it the Lord spoke to you about this morning? What is it that he's asking you to do right now? Will you have the faith to be obedient to him? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, you know all things. You know our hearts. Lord, you know whether we're saved or not, whether we've just been playing the part or we've been spectators watching the race, but we're not really in it in and of ourselves. We're good with everybody else running, but Lord, we haven't entered the race by faith. And I pray, Lord, that if someone here today is that person, Lord, that today they would trust you as their person, Lord, as Savior. And Lord, that they would just be obedient to you. But Lord, for the most part, I think probably most of the folks here this morning are saved. And Lord, they're tired. Lord, they're weary. Lord, they've taken their eyes off of you and placed it on the things of the world and all the things that come with it. Lord, and we pray this morning, Lord, that we would just take and look back to you. Lord, because you're the one who got us in the race and you're the one who will see us through the race. Lord, we just need to focus our attention back on you today. And Lord, if there's one who's drifted, Lord, into other people's lanes or into the ditch, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they would just admit that, Lord, that they would confess that sin to you and that, Lord, they would repent and turn and do what you have told them to do. Lord, whatever it is, however you want to work in our hearts and lives today, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through our obedience. Lord, have your way as only you can. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.